Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
On 2UE, George and Paul's Crime File.
And today it's last resort, Laurie Connell.
Yes. Of all of Australia's corporate crooks of the opulent 80s, none, not one of them, was as brazen with other people's money than the West Australian merchant banker, last resort, Laurie Connell. He made Gordon Gekko look like Mother Teresa. Last resort got his nickname because there was nothing, absolutely nothing, he wouldn't resort to get what he wanted. Absolutely nothing, as you are about to find out. And even in the end, he used the ultimate last resort to avoid a lengthy jail sentence and go back to prison. Born in 1947, the short, stocky Laurie Connell left school at 15 and worked as an office boy and a part-time boxer in the carnival tents around the West Australian countryside. By the time he was in his early 20s, Connell had gathered enough entrepreneurial skills to put himself into the promotions business and had gathered a bunch of up-and-coming cronies around him who could help him gather in his new generation of investors. One of those contacts was a journalist named Brian Burke. Ring a bell? Who would one day...
Oh, yeah, he went on, didn't he?
He would one day become the Labor Premier of Western Australia and wind up in jail for fraud. That's the Premier of WA winding up in jail for fraud. He was one of this bloke's mates. By the time Brian Burke had fought his way up through the Labor ranks to become Premier in 1983, Laurie Connell had formed his fledgling Rothwell's Bank and was looking for investors. And what better customer could he have than the West Australian government, courtesy of his old mate who had pledged that he was keen to promote local entrepreneurs. Hundreds of millions of dollars of public money, which belonged mainly to small mum and dad investors who believed the Premier and liked the glib-tongued Connell, poured into the coffers of Rothwell's, and the chairman of the board couldn't believe his luck. That's last resort, Connell. Shortly after, as if by magic, Laurie Connell was said to have a personal wealth of around $350 million. He had nothing. The bank was almost broke. All of a sudden, they started investing money in from the WA government, and he's said to have a personal wealth of around $350 million. Gee, I wonder where that came from. No one bothered to ask where his newly acquired fortune had come from. Truth be known, it was his investors' money that he illegally borrowed from his own bank and was spending in a fashion that made Iranian oil sheiks and Greek shipping magnates look like peasants. Apart from the huge sums deposited by the government, the mum and dad investors also trusted the little man in the Italian suits and left their money with him, many of them their life savings, on the promise of inflated interest rates that he could never possibly pay in the long term. It was the original Ponzi scheme that would also be the downfall of so many crooks to follow. Take as much money as you can, repay the original investors at a good interest rate with the new money pouring in, the new cash flow. Steal as much as you can until the head of the dog starts biting its own tail, and then put all of the assets in the wife's name and declare bankruptcy. Sounds good, doesn't it?
With his you've got to trust the wife, though. You've got to trust the wife.
Have to, yes. With his investors' money, Connell built himself a palace on 7 blocks of land on the Swan River. I saw that place. You couldn't believe that a house could be that big. He flew everywhere in his private $30 million Learjet, had a fleet of limousines at his disposal anywhere in the world, wherever he and his entourage were, sailed on his luxury yachts, and built his own private racetrack for a stable of racehorses, which he said was the biggest in Australia. His list of associates was the who's who of politics and business, and he was known to take the then Prime Minister, Bob Hawke, deep sea fishing out of northwestern Australia. A keen punter, Connell was said to keep a cash float in his office of around $3 million in cash, and outlaid it up to $1 million at a time each week with the bookies. But gambling was nothing new. Connell had always been a gambler and not always an honest one. On the 3rd of December 1975, Connell and his associates had hit the Kalgoorlie betting ring with a series of large last-minute bets on an unfancied horse named His Worship in a Melbourne race. His Worship won with a leg in the air, won easily. The bookies smelled a giant rat, and when stewards investigated the matter, they discovered that while the broadcast of the race was supposedly aired live on a Perth radio station, it was actually recorded and broadcast in Kalgoorlie several minutes after the event was over. That's why all the last minute bets.
Isn't that fabulous? Yeah.
And when the last event was over, lucky to escape with a conviction, without a conviction, Laurie Connell was banned from racehorses anywhere in the world for 2 years. But Laurie Connell's biggest race fix was in the 1987 Perth Cup at Ascot, where one of his horses, the stayer Rocket Racer, was heavily backed to win. Rocket Racer headed out from the barrier as if its tail was on fire and kept up the bewildering pace for the whole 2 miles until it crossed the line nine lengths in front. But anyone watching could tell that Rocket Racer wasn't feeling real flash as he wobbled off the track, aided by an army of attendants who stopped him from dropping dead in his tracks.
Oh, they'd filled him full of rocket fuel.
Yeah, elephant juice. It was a time when horses were suspected of being doped with elephant juice, a sedative powerful enough to stop an elephant in its tracks, but if used in small doses, it had the opposite effect and caused horses to run flat out until they dropped dead, which was the case with Rocket Racer, who, despite being attended to by the vets to save its life and was mysteriously never drug tested, died not long after. They didn't run a drug test on it. While Rocket Racer lay fighting for its life, which is terribly awful, tragic thing to do to a beautiful animal like that. It's fighting for its life. Laurie Connell celebrated his Perth Cup win long into the night at an expensive Perth restaurant and shouted for everyone in the place, with the bill winding up in excess of $50,000. When the stock market crashed in late 1987, the reality of Laurie Connell's excesses and theft were revealed, and it was estimated that between 1983 and 1987, you're sitting down, aren't you?
Yeah.
He had embezzled, it's in what, 4 years, he had embezzled up to $500 million. Now, this is in the 80s.
Yeah, but this is when you think of, you talked about him having a yacht.
Yep, all that.
Jets to fly around the world and all
seven
that.
Block house.
Block house. That's where the money went.
He embezzled up to $500 million from Rothwells, none of which could be recovered due to an intricate and complicated business structure he had set up that kept him living like a king even after he was declared a bankrupt. In 1994, Laurie Connell was found guilty of conspiring to fix the 1983 AHA Cup at rural Bunbury, that's way down south, a very country town down south, when he bribed jockey Danny Hobby with a $5,000 to throw the race, listen to this, to throw the race by jumping off Connell's mount, strike softly, to stage a fall in the middle of the race.
Oh, so he's supposed to fall, take like a boxer taking a fall.
But he just jumped off.
Yeah. Oops, sorry.
The court found that Connell had conspired to pay Hobby $1 million over the years to stay out of the country. He sent him away and said, stay away, and kept sending him money, away from police who were investigating the matter. Hobby was eventually jailed for 3 years and Connell was sent to jail for 5 years.
So that's what they got Connell on, the horse, the bloke falling off the horse.
Oh, no, haven't seen anything.
Oh, yet. Okay.
After serving just 1 year in jail and released...